Welcome this morning to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is a delight to see so many of you in the chat and know that there's so many others of you out there watching us in this second live stream service in a little bit of a new format. You can see that up in the corner it says West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. This live streaming service offers us a few more bells and whistles than Zoom does, which is why we're trying it. And then you'll all get to let us know how it goes. This is one of the great things about this new world we live in. We get to do a lot of experiments and try new things and see what we like. And I just want to put a word out there to Pat Lichen that there are some people in our Zoom coffee room who need some help getting over here. So if you could just go do that, that would be so great. That's one of the things about these experiments is sometimes not everybody knows all the right things to do. And so that's one of the things that I want to say to you this morning is this is our first time doing this. There's probably going to be a few glitches. And so I'm asking you all to bring your humor, your good heart to how this goes this morning, so that we can all just have a good time with each other as we do this together, because that is what Sunday services, worship, however you call this time together is that we're a community bringing forth our highest values and remembering what they are. And one of our highest values is to give each other just a lot of grace. So that's what we're doing. And I just want to comment on my headphones. This particular program we're using, StreamYard, has a lot of static and it works better in headphones. And I can't use the little ear ones, so I have these. And I feel like I'm in a rock studio, so it's feeling pretty cool. So after this, after we do this service, you'll have a chance to go to coffee hour. And that's our same coffee hour link we use every single week. And it's in the order of service that got sent to you this morning. So please come join us and we'll talk about the service and get to see each other's faces, which is always really nice. And then there's other things in your bulletin this morning, and you can look at those and see other ways to engage with our community. I know that there's going to be a Zoom Thanksgiving dinner. If you don't have somewhere to be on Thanksgiving, that can be a really nice thing for you. Connect with other people from Wolf to say thank you and share some food together. So that'll be a nice thing to do this week. And trying to think what else. Oh, if you're new here and you're just kind of coming in for the first time, either you found this on YouTube as it's not live and you want to connect with our community, please go to our website and you can write our administrator and get on our mailing list so that you can find ways to really connect with the real people in our community, which is really the best way to get to know us. So I would like to light our chalice, which is actually over on this other table because we moved around this morning, so I'm going to go grab it. And here's our chalice lighting words. Fire consumes, and it casts a bright light. May our chalice fire consume the pain of our past, our fears about the future, and our worries about today. May it light for us a path of joy and peace. Please join us in our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. And let us open our hearts to love one another.
Go, Tracy.
This is our prayer. Dear God, dear spirit of love and life, dear whatever holds us when we cannot hold ourselves, please help us stop the ravages of this pandemic. We grieve the death of 256,000 Americans and over 1.3 million lives worldwide from this illness in just 9 months. Hold in your care those who have lost loved ones and those who are sick now, who can't breathe, who months after their first signs of illness are still fatigued and still unwell. Care for the doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals who are so feeling the weight of the sick, who are tired and scared, who need supplies and respite. Care for all of us who are heartbroken and want to be with those we love, especially the most fragile among us, who want to be with our elders and our young children, who want to hug them and lavish them with smiles and laughter. Give us all the strength to keep going, to do the right thing, to stay healthy. And give us the courage to remember even now, even when we struggle with loss, to be thankful, to look at the beautiful, amazing world that is ours, and to be thankful, to remember all the times there has been hardship and pain, and how life has transformed it. Let us remember all the ways goodness has come again, and give us courage and strength to hold this pain now and let it transform in our hearts and souls. Amen.
At regular intervals, life gets a little too real for my taste. The wider world seems full of bombers, polluters, threats of all kinds. My own small world suffers ruptures. A couple of deaths, a couple of breakups, a young adult who scared me out of my wits for a couple of years. They leave me struggling to stay on my feet. In these situations, I usually have one of two responses. Either I am doomed, or that I need to figure out whom to blame and correct their behavior. But neither of these is true. The truth is that through the workings of love, science, community, time, and what I dare to call grace, some elemental shift will occur, and we will find we are semi-okay again. And even semi-okay can be a miracle.
Tree.
rainbows last week. One was bold and arched across the dark, bruised sky. The other, a faded twin, but all the same, holding a moment of suspended awe where there had just been driving rain. My daughter Ella and I and her closest friend had just been to Woof, where they did a scavenger hunt created by our religious education director, Hannah, and our family ministry team. The girls, who had not seen each other in three dimensions in months, masks firmly attached, laughed and ran and played and painted stones and made leaf prints. I puttered in my office, mostly carrying things from one place to another, since for 8 months I'd just been stopping by to drop things off in what was now rather large piles. I'd stopped to chat outside with the president of Woodhaven, the nursery school we went to, while her partner valiantly tried to scrape the moss off the downstairs patio with a shovel. Their preschooler scrambled over the play structure. Just an hour before, Washington Governor Jay Inslee had instituted stronger rules to slow the spread of COVID-19. We talked about it as people do. Did you hear? Can you believe it? We discussed the differences between the Washington and Oregon slowdown rules. And then with no warning, I was in tears. I was stunned at how raw I felt and how painful it was. I would have told you, if you'd asked, seconds before, that I was fine. Good, in fact. I was rested, happy. I'd taken 2 days off work. I'd played with my daughter. We'd made delicious food and listened to music and a book on tape. These new rules barely affected me personally or this congregation. We'd all been following all the new rules for months anyway. But there they were, tears and a deep, unexpected pain. And I was grateful for my mask and the 8 feet distance. Our theme this month is healing. The word healing has such a delicious sound to it. It's warm like hot chocolate. The word healing brings up an image from Narnia, where Lucy, the youngest heroine, had a tiny crystal bottle, and when she poured a drop on a wound, no matter how terrible, it would begin to transform, weaving together bone and muscle and skin until there was no scar, and the suffering was over, and everyone was glad. And I seem to remember there was always this delicious smell that came with it, and some kind of joy. Healing means to become healthy, sound, or whole, and the word comes from the Old English root halion, the condition or state of being hal, whole. Hal is also the root of the word holy, that which must not be broken. So much needs healing these days. So much is broken, leaving jagged, jarring pain. Where to even start? An economic system that must always grow, chopping through the living world, spewing poison to function. Racism and classism that kills bodies and maims souls. A country so divided by politics and culture and concepts of reality that at best we don't trust each other and at worst we hate each other. And then there's just the brokenness in our families, in our own bodies and hearts, the wounds, the betrayals, the secrets, the traumas, the illnesses, the shocks, the accidents. Or maybe what needs healed is just what is happening right now. We just want to hug our child or our grandchild or our parent or our friend. We want to get in a car or on an airplane and go somewhere we love or be with people we love. Our body is just so taut with fear of COVID, of death, of isolation, of white nationalists, of fire, of too much rain or too little rain. And there I was rested. I was relaxed. I was happy. My guard was down. So much means healing. And in that moment, I felt it like the crash in the forest. As people firmly rooted in Western thought, it's easy to get confused about what healing is. We often think of healing as fixing something. We had a broken leg and now we don't. We had cancer and now we don't. We are healed. We have a plan to fix this pandemic. We will develop a vaccine. Everyone will get it. The problem will be solved. All will be well. We often have a similar approach to racism. We will read the right books, get the right policies enacted, figure out the right language or attitudes. Racism will be solved. Everything will be okay. But so much that needs to be healed cannot simply be fixed or solved. Healing is not one-dimensional. Healing is multi-dimensional. Healing is about wholeness. Healing is becoming physically whole, mentally whole, emotionally, socially, spiritually whole. Healing is weaving human beings into their world after it breaks. So they become fully, wholly part of it all. Healing is reweaving human beings into their world after it breaks, so they are fully, wholly part of it all. Healing isn't just multiplying cells closing a cut, or the end of redlining, or freezer trucks of vaccine, even though those matter. When we are ill or broken, or when our families or cultures or societies are ill or broken, integrity, wholeness is damaged. We become isolated from the wholeness of being, and are unable to function fully and well. When this happens, we suffer in so many different ways, in different dimensions of our being. Consider cancer. This is not simply a physical illness. Cancer ruptures the whole of life, our mental and emotional state, our spiritual and social relationships, our habits, our expectations of life. We suffer. To heal from cancer is not about remission, but about transforming and finding a new wholeness, a new way to be fully a part of existence that takes into account cancer, with or without a physical cure of the disease. Consider racism. This is not simply about social attitudes or changes to systems. Racism ruptures the wholeness of life back over centuries, carried forward unconsciously in our culture and in our bodies, physical environments, and institutions. Racism makes us all suffer. It affects us mentally, emotionally, spiritually and physically, To heal from racism requires finding a new wholeness, a new way for us all to participate fully in existence. So how do we heal from a pandemic that is only intensifying after 10 months when we have all been so good? We've isolated, worn masks, and socially distanced. We've closed down our congregation physically. We haven't been to plays or concerts. Some of us have not seen family or traveled. And now there is more illness, more death, more isolation, loss of the habits we developed over the spring and summer, increasing hunger, homelessness, and economic devastation for the poorest and most vulnerable among us. So many of us are waiting breathlessly for a vaccine to fix this problem of the pandemic. We try to get some timeline out of the news. When will we get vaccinated, or the people we love? When will our congregation open again physically, or our gym or restaurant, or the place we go to the theater? The truth is that the pandemic has torn apart so much. It has broken so much. And it has shown us clearly so much that is already completely broken. A vaccine will surely stop some of the bleeding and some of the pain, but it won't heal us. It won't make a new wholeness. As I stood on Wolf at the playground, the children all playing around me, the gray clouds could no longer hold the water that they'd all gathered into them. They released it at first softly and then with more vigor. I found my girls inside, which was not the plan we'd agreed to, and ushered them out toward the car. My tears, which were still dried on my cheeks, made me realize healing wasn't something that I, or really anyone, could put off until the virus stopped making so many people sick. When the children returned to school and my daughter could see her friends every day, not just once every few months, or when we could all be together on our beautiful Wolf grounds every Sunday morning or during the week. Maybe I was doing fine so many days, functional, warm, I have a house, I'm so lucky, eating, content enough. But I really couldn't pretend that everything was fine, actually. Everything is not fine. I couldn't pretend, as Annie Lamont put it in this morning's reading, that life wasn't actually a little too real for my taste. I needed to stop waiting and begin the creation of a new wholeness right now and for the world after the pandemic and after these long 4 years of a corrupt presidency. One that enacted day after day policies and that enacted values that are not my own or our own, that are not Unitarian Universalist values. So I thought, what heals us? What reweaves us with our world so that we are fully a part of it, not isolated, suffering, cut off socially, emotionally, spiritually. It's so many things. So much the avenue of spiritual and religious practice. So many things that have been taught by religious faith and spiritual faith over the centuries. So often, for millennia, in fact, it has been religious faith that has taken the stance has taken on the work of healing within human communities. So what feels? Breath taken and released. Emotions witnessed by ourselves and others and held. Stories told and remade for new moments. Rituals. Gratitude. Prayer. Ah. Noticing ah. Nature. Loving relationships recommitted to and held on to. Compassion. Warm presence. Laughter. Creation of new neural pathways. Our bodies. Noticed and touched and moved. Singing. Art created. Gardens tended. Food prepared. Mindfulness. Justice worked for. Healing is a journey done within compassionate relationships, perhaps with ourselves, with others, or whatever we hold greater than ourselves. Healing happens when we listen deeply to ourselves, to those we love, to those we've never met, when we allow stillness, when we allow the stories, the feelings to unfold without interruption, and when we are so kind and compassionate. To heal, we must listen to our bodies and hearts and hold them in compassion. What do they need to become fully, wholly within the flow of existence in this situation, in this reality, the way it is now? To heal, we must listen to others and with them in compassion. What do they need to become fully, wholly, within the flow of existence now, in this reality as it is now? As Hannah and our children reminded us this morning, when in doubt, gratitude is always a very good place to begin. Our lives and days have been given to us in a mystery beyond understanding, and all we can really do is say thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. That day we drove Ella's friend home with our masks on and our windows partway down, water sprayed in, soaking us. Rainbows, the girl shouted as we pulled around a corner. The rainbows arched across the dark bruised sky like a promise. I stopped the car and breathed in. I felt where the pain still sat in my throat. I held it kindly in the light of the rainbow. This, I thought, there is always rainbows. I picked up a thread to weave a new wholeness for this time. Then my daughter and I went home and we baked lemon tart. This, I thought, there is this relationship with this fabulous person, and there are lemons. I found another two threads and I wove those in to this moment. Later at dinner, we said our thank yous as we often do at dinner. Thank you and thank you and thank you. And I wove those in too. And this week I have woven in postcards to Georgia. We've already claimed 500 of them in this congregation because we are that great. And I've woven in people who help each other. I've woven in nurses and doctors. We should reach out to them, the pain whispered to me. Yes, I said, we should. Maybe Christmas cards. So I'm weaving, healing, a new wholeness. And I hope that you will join me and that we can heal and help heal this marvelous world we are part of in these moments of darkness and pain but also joy and treasure. May it be so. No matter how we feel, fine or broken or in pain, we each have healing threads to find and to weave. In these coming holiday weeks, may you find threads to begin your creation, some gratitude, some compassion, some kindness to another wounded soul, some work for justice, some laughter, a relationship tended. Be love, be connected, each day weave, so your companions and our world may be a little more whole. We will now extinguish our chalice until we meet again. But it does not go out. As long as we carry its flame in our hearts, the light of Unitarian Universalism warms and brightens our world.